reading the King James Bible, you cannot go wrong. It gives us truth. It is the sword of the Spirit. It is sharper than a two-edged sword. I'm glad that it will reveal to us the intents of our heart. Sometimes we think our motives are right in what we want to do, but as we read God's word, we find out, okay, that wasn't the right motive. That wasn't with the right spirit. And I'm just as I was reading, singing that song and thinking about God's word, I'm glad that God tells us exactly how all of this came to be. Because there was one moment. Again, God's outside of time, so a moment refers to time. But God being outside of time, before he even created time for us, he spoke the worlds into existence. And on day one, he did some things. And on day two, he did some things. You know, 6 days of God doing a great miracle. And on the seventh day, God rested. I saw this article the other day where they have given the description over the past, I forget how many billions of years that they said, it was like 4-point-something billion years, coming all the way to the present, they were giving exactly what has happened over the span of time. I mean, well, how do they know exactly what happened 4.9 billion years ago? How do they know that something collided and exploded and all this stuff started happening? I mean, how do they know this? And it's quite just fascinating how people will become fools because God said the fool had said in his heart, there is no God. It's amazing how people will become fools in, oh, you poor people believe some book. Okay, you're believing some man that's saying this happened 4.9 billion years ago. That's more foolish to me than it is reading a book that God's given us. I can actually read it. You're just listening to someone who says, yeah, you know, this happened and that happened. Well, where's the proof in that? History, though, true history, gives us the proof of everything that's happened in God's word. And obviously, God gives us some things that are going to happen in the future. But in the book of Galatians, Paul writes to some believers in Galatia that had believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and had believed in the words that Paul gave them. But soon after Paul left Galatia, there were some Judaizers that came in to cause these believers to walk in legalism. And Paul has to write this letter back to them, and unfortunately he has to call them foolish, because it is foolish to believe in salvation one way, which is through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. I'm believing in what he did, nothing I did. But then to turn around, okay, now I'm saved, I have to do this and this and this and this to prove I'm saved, to stay saved and all of that. That's foolishness. So in Galatians chapter 3, verse 1 through 5, I want to this morning, with the Lord's help, talk to us about continuing in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, continuing living your life for Christ in the Holy Spirit. In verse number 1, Paul writes, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? That word is used because a lot of people are being bewitched. They're being overtaken by demonic spirits. They're believing in demonic spirits. You know, there's just know this. The Holy Spirit of God in you will testify with your spirit that you are a child of God. God does not reveal things to us through any other spirit but his Holy Spirit. Again, there are people, the Bible talks about in the last days that we're living in, people will turn their ears away from the truth because the Bible says they have itching ears. They want to hear something new, something else sounds good to them. You know, people don't want to sit under the preaching of God's word anymore and be convicted in their heart about things in their life that's not right. They want to hear someone say, everything's fine, you're a child of God, you do whatever you want, come to God as you are, leave God without being changed. But no, when you come to Jesus Christ, he transforms you. You start to have the mind of Christ as you put the Word of God into your heart, and as you meditate upon God's Word, we start to realize in our own life the things that are wrong and just how far away I am from God, even though I feel like, you know, in my lifetime as a Christian, I'm not where I used to be, but as I read God's Word, I'm not where, you know, God wants me to be. I've got to keep moving forward, getting closer to Him. I can never just say, okay, I'm saved on my way to heaven. There's nothing else I need to do. That's where we become foolish, and that's where we can become easily deceived or bewitched, believing a lie, believing I got to add something to what God already did. So again, he says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. And he says, this is the only thing I want to know from you Galatians. Received ye the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, by the works of the law, something you did, or by the hearing of faith, something Jesus did, right? Verse 3, are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Because again, they believed a lie, and they believed it was a good lie, because these are religious people who have come after Paul, and you know, I said, you know, well, Paul sent us here to help you to get grounded in religion, to get grounded in the faith. So, you know, you need to be circumcised. You need to follow the law. You got to do all of this that we tell you to do. And obviously, Paul gets wind of it. He hears about it. He writes a letter back and he says, okay, just tell me this. Having begun in the Spirit, now are you made perfect through the flesh? Obviously, the truth is no. All right, but verse 4, have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministers to you the Spirit, capital S, the Holy Spirit, and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Father, we do thank you this morning that faith is what helps us to see our need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and his blood shed. Because without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. And Lord, he came to die for our sins, to shed his blood willingly. But it is through the Holy Spirit that we have to continue living the Christian life and continue being dependent upon you through your Spirit. Because it is the Holy Spirit that cultivates his fruit in our hearts. And it shows evidence throughout our life. And we do pray that you'd help us this morning to see where maybe in our own mind, our own thinking, we're doing things in the flesh, thinking it's going to help us to become more spiritual, closer to you, when in fact, it is through the power of the Holy Spirit that we can do anything for the Lord and to get any closer to you. It is spiritually being surrendered and dependent upon thy Holy Spirit that you've given us as a comforter and as a teacher and as a guide. Father, we just ask that you would be glorified this morning. I pray that you give us ears to hear. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul obviously uses the word foolish to these Galatians because he wants them to understand how silly it is to believe that you're going to get spiritually better by doing something carnally or in the flesh, as he says. I cannot get closer to God by doing things in the flesh in my own way. It has to be by surrendering to the Holy Spirit. Because let's be honest, we will lie to ourselves and say, I'm good, I'm fine. Oh, okay, yeah, you know, I struggle here and there, but you know, I'm 99.999% good. Because you understand, even the lie on that, you know, things you buy, you know, disinfectant wipes that say, you know, it kills 99.9999%. And we're like, ooh, that's good. Well, why doesn't it say 100%? Right? And sometimes, you know, different things we buy, you know, products, food and stuff like that. God says, no, he doesn't want us just to be 99.999% spiritual. He wants us to be 100% spiritual, relying upon the only source that's going to help us to achieve God's goal for each of our life, and that is to be more like Christ even in the days that we are living in. Again, as we hear about the things going on in Israel, it should bring to our mind scripture that tells us these things are going to happen. It's not the end, all right? There's not, they just continue to talk about UFOs and aliens and now, you know, this asteroid that's on its way to Earth and all these things. It's like, read the Bible. None of that's going to happen. Man just always comes up with these things to drive people to believe them and to follow the ways of the world and submit to man's authority instead of believing God and submitting to his authority, because nothing's going to destroy this planet other than the fire of God that he talks about in Revelation, where this earth is burned up in the end after the millennium, because God is going to give a new heaven and a new earth for us to live on and to enjoy, where there is no sin. Because this world is cursed, right? This world is cursed with thorns and just all kinds of dangerous animals and insects and all of that. But again, when Paul talks to the Galatians through his letter, he's talking to them about their spiritual need. You and I we're spiritual beings with a fleshly body. You cannot help your spirit like I've been talking about through fleshly means. Again, someone that is struggling with depression, a pill's not going to help them. I'm not going to specifically talk on depression this morning, but you know, if the Lord leads over the next few weeks, I might get into deeper. But even as I thought about it yesterday, I was led to this message instead of specifically talking about depression. But as you think about depression, depression comes upon somebody when they do not do life God's way. When someone chooses to go astray from the Lord as a child of God, they're inviting depression into their life at some point. Think about the prodigal son. He had everything he needed at the father's house, but he thought, you know what, I'm going to take my inheritance, what's rightfully mine, though it's not time to have it, I'm still going to demand it of my father, and I'm going to go live my life in the world. And he is at the bottom of the barrel in the pig pen, because the world chewed him up, spit him out. His friends he had for a season deserted him because he didn't have any money to spend on them anymore. They didn't care about him. And it was at the lowest point in that man's life that God brought to his mind the days that were good. How it was good in his father's house, and how his father loved him, and how his father took care of him and his servants. Because if you remember the account Jesus gives, it's not a parable. It is a true account of a young man that realized, my father even took good care of his servants. And he says, I'll just go back and be a servant. I'm not even worthy to be a son. That is a sign of repentance when a child of God realizes, I don't even deserve to be in the family of God. Because if we will keep a humble mind and a humble spirit before God, we won't find ourselves being like the foolish Galatians who believed on Jesus, but then, well, they turned and they basically were living their life in the flesh. God wants us to continue living in his spirit. He says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? You know why it's important that you and I continue living in the Spirit of God, walking in the Spirit, so we don't fulfill the lust of the flesh? So that we will honestly, as the Bible says, come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord. So there will be a distinction in our lives that shows people they're not like us. And someone may even question, why don't you do this? Why don't you celebrate that? Why don't you go to these places? Why don't you talk like we talk? There has to be a distinction, even among, unfortunately, Christians. Just because someone goes to church and claims to be a Christian doesn't mean they're a child of God. Doesn't mean that they have the Spirit of God in them, because there are a lot of buildings that are called churches and even say that they follow Christ, but when you look at them, look at their teachings, their doctrines, and their lifestyle, it does not compare to Christ or the Word of God. What is it that you and I allow to dominate our minds and our heart? It should be the Word of God that dictates how I live and what I allow into my mind and heart. And somebody who claims to be a Christian, because I've had them say it, will say, that's legalistic. You can't tell people what to do. God does. God tells us what to do in His Word. God tells us what will harm us. And God says, avoid those things. Avoid it, pass not by it. God wants us to be more like Christ and less like the world. In Galatians chapter 1, back up maybe a page and look at verse 6 and 7. Now, there are times where someone is saved, but again, we call them as they stop going to church, they stop reading their Bible, they kind of, you know, disappear. We call them backslidden. And verse 6 and 7, the Bible says, Paul says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. You know why God tells us in His Word that we are to try the spirits? Because there again, there are spirits in this world that want to pervert the truth in your life. They want you to believe a lie. They want you to believe that everything that claims to be Christian is good. And everybody that claims to be a Christian is good. Listen, you cannot follow. You know why God, let me say this. You know why God gave communities local churches? So they'd have a local place to go to and be with God's people? Nowhere in the Bible do you see where God ordained TV evangelists. Because God wants His people to gather together, to be together, and not sit at home watching some guy on the TV that claims to be, you know, a prophet of the Lord, claims to be a saint, claims to be a child of God, and yet he's not going to pray for you. He's not going to visit you in the hospital. But man, he wants you to send the money. It's amazing, again, how people in their minds, they think the church only wants my money. They refuse to tithe and to give offerings, but man, they are so quick to send their money to a TV evangelist. And I know of people that are like this. And again, the ones on TV, they seem like, well, I've got a big ministry, and man, they must be of the Lord, and people get behind it. But man, when you get to studying and you get to looking into their life, you get to looking into their ministry, they're not of God. God ordained a local church, and God ordained men who are not perfect, but He ordained men to be the under-shepherd of His churches, to lead His sheep to follow the great shepherd, to follow their Savior. That's why Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. That's why Paul, as I even brought up last week, had to tell the church at Corinth, look, it's not about me, it's not about Peter, it's not about Apollos. It's about Jesus Christ, because there was that division. There were some in there, well, I follow Paul. I listen to what Paul says. Well, I follow Apollos. No, it's about following Jesus Christ. You can't go wrong with following Jesus Christ. You will go wrong following a man. Don't follow a man. Follow Jesus Christ. All right? Follow Jesus Christ. Again, he says, right, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Again, what I want us to see this morning, according to verse 1, is just the problem that the Galatians had. I've already said, but they were foolish. They were foolish. The Galatians had been spiritually lazy and undiscerning. They had foolishly fallen into Judaistic legalism because they had stopped believing and applying the basic truths of the gospel that Paul had taught them and by which they had been saved. I mean, again, Paul taught them the Word of God. Sometimes we read Scripture and it may not make sense to us, or we can't quite understand what Paul is saying or what God's trying to do. And, you know, we kind of may get bogged down in the Old Testament and be like, oh, all these names I can't pronounce, and what does it apply to me for? And we kind of put it down, and some may even, you know, pick up some Christian book somebody read that, you know what, they were dead for a while, and they claimed to be, had been in heaven for 11 hours, and God allowed them to come back to life, and man, they've got a book signing deal. They make millions of dollars because people buy their book to read about their experience of being dead, going to heaven, and coming back. You realize that's a lie? Yes, people do have near-death experiences, but God has not allowed anyone to go to heaven and come back other than the ones you read about in Scripture. Lazarus died, and Jesus called him back. Jesus has gone to heaven. Jesus was in heaven. He came down. See, people are, they want to hear someone's experience about heaven, what they saw. And it used to be that everyone had the same testimony. Well, there was this tunnel, and at the end of the tunnel was this bright light, and the closer I got to it, the brighter it got, but then all of a sudden I woke up, or I came back to, and I didn't even get to go through the light. And some claim they, you know, have gone through the light, and the first person they talked to was a child of theirs that had died that now was a grown-up talking to them. If you read Scripture, that's not how God works, because who do you think God wants us to see first when we pass into eternity if we're saved? Him, right? But everyone that has these books that they write about, you know, dying and coming back to life, so many people believe that as truth, and they don't believe what the Bible says. That is another gospel. That's someone else trying to give a good news about their experience, and it leads people away from the truth of God's Word. And that's just one example. So we've got to be careful that we allow the Word of God to be the center of our life when we build our life upon the Word of God, not upon man's experience, because I don't know if it's true or not. According to the Bible, I don't think anything like that is true. You know, God's the judge of that. I'm not going to go and condemn the person, but I'm going to stick to the Bible and let the Word of God help me to have my experience with Christ as God works in my life and molds me and changes me more into the image of Christ and helps me to have the mind of Christ so I make right decisions that glorify Him and help to lift up Jesus Christ in my life so others will see a reason to even ask of the hope that lies within me. Because you know what happens with those that believe in somebody's experience? And that's all they hear and it's all they read about, someone else's experience. Well, then they compare their life to them and think, well, I guess I can never be saved because I've never had an experience like them. I guess God doesn't love me because God hasn't allowed me to come to heaven and to see things and come back to tell people. I mean, that's why it's absurd for people to think that they have to speak in tongues in order to prove that they're saved. And other people like that. I had a friend in high school that, you know, talked about, you know, his proof of salvation was that he was able to talk in tongues. Nowhere in the Bible does it tell us talking in tongues is a proof of your salvation. What it is a proof of is demonic activity in your life, because the Holy Spirit witnesses with our spirit that I'm saved because I've put my faith and trust in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. He died for me so that I would not have to experience an eternal separation from God. It's nothing I do proves that I'm saved. Because again, you have these false prophets that a lot of Christians are following and promoting and investing in that are not helping them get closer to the Lord. It's helping them to continue to follow a man that's leading them down the road of destruction. But again, Paul says that these were foolish, O foolish Galatians. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 and 16 reminds us, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." Every day has evil in the day, but it does not mean we have to be overcome by evil, right? God's given us the faith through Jesus Christ, and every day we have to walk as wise children of the Lord, that we are following the Lord. We have given the day to the Lord, and it is the Lord Jesus Christ that we're following. Colossians 2, verse 6 and 7, "As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him." That means follow his footsteps. Do what he would do. Don't do what he wouldn't do. Right? We're to follow the Lord. "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him." You and I have got to be rooted in Christ. And if we're rooted in Christ, that means we're going to abide in Christ. That means everything of Christ is going to flow through us. We're going to have the mind of Christ. We're going to have the heart of Christ. We're going to have the vision of Christ because we are rooted in Christ, and we're not going to be led astray. He goes on to say, "Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." I'm teaching you scripture this morning, but you and I have to be taught in the Word of God as we read our Bible every day. Even as we need to be like Bereans and search the scriptures. Remember, Paul, he basically congratulated the Bereans because they searched the scriptures to see if what Paul was saying was true. You realize some people will hear me say something and automatically, "You don't know what he's talking about." Because I've had people do that to me too. Nobody in here. Nobody that currently goes to the church. "Oh, he's a legalistic. I've studied that Bible and it doesn't say what he says." And all I did was give them scripture. Not my opinion, but what the Bible says. Again, if we don't want to follow Christ God's way, we'll always resist it. We'll always balk at it. We'll always, not listen. But if we truly want Christ and we truly want to be rooted in his word and led by his spirit, man, we will cleave to every word of God. We'll cleave to every word of God. "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." Now, what an amazing thing to abound in our faith and just thanking the Lord. "Thank you, Lord, that you have revealed truth to me. Thank you for helping me through this day. Thank you for helping me not to give in to my flesh. Thank you, Lord, for just continuing to not give up on me, but to help me every day." That's abounding in your faith because, man, you're keeping your eyes on the author and finisher of your faith. You're not letting the fiery darts of the devil impact your thinking because you are keeping the word of God dwelling richly in your heart because it is a shield. It's our defense. And the devil, man, he works overtime to get you to lay down the shield of faith. Because it gets tiring. It gets tiring to fight battles, spiritual battles, day after day, and have to be on guard and all of this. And, man, can I just, do like I like to do Sunday nights when I finally get home on a Sunday, just sit in the recliner and because whether you know it or not, it's a spiritual battle for any preacher, evangelist, Sunday school teacher to teach and preach the word of God because there is a spiritual battle going on. And it goes on, not just with the one preaching and teaching, but the ones that are listening. It goes on because the devil doesn't want the seed of God's word to be heard and to sink down into the heart. And the devil fights against that. And we've got to take heed to that and not be like the Galatians. But they were foolish because they were fooled. Don't allow yourself to be spiritually fooled. But they were foolish because they were fooled. Notice he says, who hath bewitched you? Well, that means there was a spell cast upon them. They heard something that sounded good, and because they believed it, they followed it instead of the truth. Again, having itching ears, wanting to hear something new. And again, sometimes, you know, you may come across a new preacher. I like to listen to preaching. There's a couple of different guys that I listen to, but I still, you know, I make sure, okay, what they're saying is what the Bible says, because every preacher is different. Some preachers are very dramatic in their preaching. I mean, they get to snorting and stomping and slamming the pulpit and doing all kinds of crazy things. Some are very more eloquent in their preaching, and they're very sophisticated with their approach. And some people, again, they like to use, you know, like I've been doing, a whiteboard and kind of drawing things. You kind of get a visual of what's being talked about. So different ways, but it must be the word of God that we're listening to. It must be the word of God that we're allowing to sink down into our hearts, because again, whatever I'm thinking is going to change my heart and guide me either in the right direction or the wrong direction. So they were foolish because they allowed themselves to be fooled. They were bewitched, which means enchant, charm, fascinate. All right? And these Judaizers, they come in and they fascinated these Galatians with the things that they were saying. Sure, yeah, you know, everything Paul said was good, but listen to this. And everything they said sounded, wow, that's good. And they just started following them and forsook everything that Paul had taught them through the word of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3 and 4, the Bible says, but I fear lest by any means as the serpent beguiled Eve. Who is it that wants to bewitch you, beguile you, entice you and lead you astray from the truth of God's word? It's the devil and the ministers of the devil. Remember, the Bible says, don't marvel at the fact that Satan can transform himself into an angel of light, as well as his ministers into ministers of light, right? Just because someone sounds really good and sounds like they are from the Lord doesn't mean they are. Again, you've got to compare with what they're saying to God's word. And if it in no way matches up with God's word, then you don't listen. You don't follow their teachings. You don't continue listening. As Paul said the Galatians were foolish, let me give you an example of a foolish Baptist believer who said this once. He said, you just chew up the meat and spit out the bones. You just take everything in, chew up what's good, and spit out what's not. Sounds manly. But you know what happens with putting everything in and chewing what you think is meat and spitting out what you think is bones? How much poison does it take to kill a rat? You don't give the rat the whole bottle of poison. You just put some in the whatever food you want them to eat. So one of the foolish things is listening, because they were repeating something. They heard some preacher who was snorting, stomping, and screaming say, and it sounded good. Yeah, because I'm a Baptist. I can just chew it up, spit out what I don't want. That's exactly what the devil wants. Over the years, people have given me different books at different times, given me and my wife books at different times. And I remember this one book. It sounded really good. It's like, okay, you know.
And we started reading it. I don't remember everything it was talking about, but I remember being in Lodi, and we would take turns riding the stationary bike, you know, pretending like we're going somewhere, and reading the book. We'd read some chapters for the time we were on it. We'd switch off. The other one would read it. And I remember reading this book. We were reading it, and we're like, it was given to us by a Christian. It's supposed to be a Christian book. But something just didn't sit well. They were saying some good things, but it was being applied very wrong. And I've even had people, you know, listen to this music. And I remember one time we listened to some music and the whole thing. And it wasn't until the very end of the music, the woman goes, Jesus. Oh, all right, they said Jesus. It was nothing about Jesus throughout the whole song. But because they said Jesus at the end, it was considered Christian music. So, I mean, you got to be careful. Don't allow yourself to be fooled. The devil, again, wants to bewitch you, wants to beguile you, wants to steal away the truth you have received through the power of the Holy Spirit in God's word. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, again, the Holy Spirit of God will lead us to do the things of God. The Holy Spirit of God will help us to have the fruit of the Spirit. Look at Galatians chapter 5. And look at verse 22. Again, God hasn't given us the spirit of fear. We don't need to fear anything but God, because fearing God is the beginning of wisdom. All right? But fearing the things of this world, that's not of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. You know what? Sometimes God wants us to suffer in trials, but he gives us the power through the Holy Spirit to be able to suffer long, so that God is glorified and we're drawn closer to the Lord. I mean, to us, it doesn't make sense. Why would God want us to suffer? So our faith is strengthened, and that we can actually experience God's faithfulness in our life and his goodness and his gentleness. It says his goodness, his faith, his meekness, temperance. Temperance is self-controlled. Against such there is no law. Again, God wants us to walk in the Holy Spirit. God wants us to not receive another spirit that's going to cause us to live contrary to God's word and his will in our life, which ye have not received, it says, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might bear with him. Galatians 5:7 says, ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? Galatians, they started out well, but someone hindered them. If you find yourself backsliding on reading your Bible, backsliding on praying, backsliding on following God, trusting God, you've got to recognize it as God points it out and find out, what is it that hinders me? What is it that caused me to go astray? And then you've got to turn back to the Lord. That's a picture of the prodigal son. What is it that caused him to go astray? He wanted to go live in the world. He wanted his inheritance because he was tired of being under the authority of the Father, doing things the Father's way. You know what? God lets his children go. He lets them go and do what they want to do, because God is not a dictator. He gives us the truth. He says, hey, if you do well, you'll be well. If you don't, you won't. You want a curse or you want a blessing? And unfortunately, you know, people want to do what they want to do, and God allows them. Go ahead. You realize the Father could have kept the Son from leaving, because it wasn't time. The Father was still alive. You don't get an inheritance until the one who's giving it is dead. But the Father gave it to him. Okay, that's what you want. And guess what? He doesn't get another inheritance. He already wasted it. What I'm saying, though, is
God will at times let one of his children go astray because they're so bent on going against God's way. He says, okay, go ahead. What you want to do? And then they find out later, oh, this is not what I wanted. This is more than I bargained for. I thought I could control myself. I thought I could keep myself from going too far. But that's exactly how the devil bewitches Christians and thinking, well, you can have it your way and still be happy. Stop doing it Burger King's way. Do it God's way. God's way always works out. Not only were they foolish and fool, but they were fickle in their Christian walk. The Bible says in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. They believed because of these Judaizers that bewitched them that now they had to start doing things to prove they were saved. They had to start doing things contrary to God's word. 1 Corinthians 2:22, for I determined not to know anything among you, Paul says, save or except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Because you realize that if we just meditate on what Jesus did for us, it should cause us to live right for God. Because I don't have to go around and say, okay, you're doing this wrong, you're doing that wrong, you need to do this. Now, if we individually just every day meditate on what Jesus did, specifically for me, it should cause me to straighten up, fly right, and live right. But that's the thing. We put that out of our mind. I just say we in general. We put that out of our mind because you know what? I don't want to meditate on Jesus, you know, being crucified and scourged and all of that. I mean, you know, I don't want to focus on that. I don't want to focus that it was my sin that drove him to the cross. I don't want to focus on the fact those nails that pierced his hands and feet were because of me. But you know what? If we do think about that, it should. And it would cause us, all of God's people, to have a right mind and stop allowing the things of this world to control us and to cause us that we have no victory in Jesus Christ. Because the Bible says, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. He's the foundation to build our life upon, not the foundation of the world. Now, you think about this very quickly. Look at verse 2 through 4. The Bible says, this only would I learn of you, he says, received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? Again, we're not made perfect in the flesh. We're made perfect by the Holy Spirit cultivating his fruit in our heart and allowing it to be manifested in our life. We know that by faith we're saved. The Bible tells us that. Romans 8:16 says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. 1 John 4:13, hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us because he hath given us of his Spirit. The Holy Spirit working in us. We know we're saved by faith, but we are to continue by faith in the Spirit. Again, Galatians 5:16, I won't read again, but it gives. Actually, you know, Galatians 5:16, verse 17. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The lust of the flesh is always contrary to God. And what is the lust of the flesh? I'll do something else than read the Bible. I don't know, have you ever started reading the Bible and just eyes getting heavy and, oh, okay, put that away. I'll watch TV and then you're awake for hours watching TV. As soon as you open the Bible again, it's like, you know, after the first three words, you're like, because it's a spiritual battle. The flesh doesn't want the spiritual things of God. It wants the carnal things of the world. And we've got to be mindful of that and not give in to the flesh, but give in to the Spirit. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Yeah, it's a wonderful promise. Because again, the wrong thinking is, I keep struggling with this. You know, I try, But God says, walk in the Spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You know why people keep giving in to pornography? They're not walking in the Spirit. They're giving in to what they want. They're not fighting it with the Word of God. And they just give in because, look, the sexual sins of this world are very powerful and very strong. I mean, they grip a person. It's not easy to get out from underneath that, I don't know, that authority or that dominance, that controlling spirit without Jesus Christ and His Word. And it is a battle. Because when someone gives themselves over to sin, whatever it is, time and time and time again, it gets stronger, 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 more controlling. And even though on the inside, the person wants out from it, but they just refuse to rely upon God and His Word. It's easier to go back to the pig pen than it is to go uphill. Because it's a battle. But God promises to help us and to give us victory. He promises, walk in the Spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It is allowing the Holy Spirit to have full control of our lives. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. There's that opposition. And these are contrary the one to the other so that you cannot do the things that ye would. But it is. There is hope and there is victory. No one is without hope in whatever sin that they're caught up in and they want out and it seems like they can't get out. They truly have to cry out to the Lord. Again, man, that's why Jesus gives the story, the account of the prodigal son, a child of God who chooses to go into the world but gets to the end of themselves and where they repent of their life and they say, I'll just go back and be a servant. It is a change of mind. It's a change of heart. And the Bible says, as that prodigal son starts to go home, he doesn't get to the house. He doesn't get in the house. He doesn't get to the door. He doesn't get to the father. The father sees him afar off because God knows a repentant child of his. And the Bible says the father went to him. He saw him afar off and the father went to him. God's not in groveling and crawling back and all of that that the world wants. I mean, we want people to grovel and beg for our forgiveness. But God looks at the heart. The heart's repentant. The mind is repentant. God says, you're mine. You're my child. Robed him with fine clothes as his clothes were all tattered. Put the ring back on his finger to signify he's not a servant. He's a child of mine. He is family. He's blood. He's mine. Again, you think there is power with God. Nobody's without hope. Nobody is beyond God's help. The devil wants them to think that. The devil wants them to think you're trapped, nothing will ever change. And it's because the devil has convinced someone to make a decision to live contrary to the Lord, but God still wants to work in that child's life, in that person's life. Look at verse 5 very quickly. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit, capital S, again, speaks of the Holy Spirit, and worketh miracles among you. Man, one of the greatest miracles that God does in a person's life is to save them from the depths of hell. But also when there's a wandering child, like the prodigal son, the miracle of restoring that child. Because God's the one that begun the good work in each of our lives, and He said, I will continue it until the day of Jesus Christ. But we do have to surrender to it. We have to submit to God. But the power of the Lord, He says, He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth He it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? And no doubt it's the hearing of faith. Now continuing our growth, our spiritual growth and service to the Lord, because we are to serve the Lord in our Christian life, it's not possible through our power, but it's only possible through the power of the Lord. The Bible says in John 16:13, howbeit when he, Jesus says, the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Jesus promised the Holy Spirit, because it is the Holy Spirit that we need in our life. Jesus said in John 15:5, I'm the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. It doesn't matter what age, what physical age you are. You still need Christ and you still need the Holy Spirit working in your life. We got to stop ignoring the Holy Spirit and stop thinking everything else is more important. The devil has so many of us, and I'm not specifically saying us as in here, just us in general as Christians, he's got so many of us thinking, I'm good, I'm fine, I don't need to hear the message, I don't need to go to church, I don't need to read the Bible. Those are the very Christians that are going to have destruction come suddenly in their life. Those are the very ones that are going to be led astray. Marriages aren't blessed. Families aren't blessed. Their employment isn't blessed. Nothing they do is blessed. And they blame God because they've been convinced, well, wait, I'm a child of God. I should just have all the perks and the blessings. No. Because God expects us to live a certain way. God expects us to rely upon him. Again, you and I have got to guard our minds and guard our hearts. We got to stop just putting every piece of garbage in our eyes and in our ears and letting that dictate our life. You and I mean, again, this is what we build our life upon, the Word of God. This is what guides us. This is what helps us to see truth. This is what helps us to see error so we're not led astray. I mean, I don't want to stand before the Lord and have everything in my life burned up at the judgment seat of Christ because I did everything the way I thought it should be done as a Christian. I already know there's going to be things burnt up because we're not perfect. But again, I want it to be as minimal as possible, you know. I want more crowns than not so I can cast them at his feet. And honestly, I mean, the mindset, as we think about, there is a battle for the minds of Christians. The devil already has the lost blinded. Their minds are his until Christ is revealed to them and they put their faith and trust in Christ. The devil fights hard for the minds of Christians. That's why there's so many different Bible perversions. That's why there are so many, you know, false prophets in the world. But you understand, the devil doesn't need any of those things to convince a child of God to live contrary to the Lord. Because what did he do with Eve? Again, you've got to keep that in your mind. The only thing he did with Eve, he didn't take her to a bookstore and show her all the Bible, different Bibles and say, okay, pick one. He didn't show her all the Christian music and say, okay, whatever makes you feel good, listen to it. The only thing the devil said is, yea, hath God said? Oh, God knows you're not going to surely die. You'll just be like him. You'll know how to decide what's right and what's wrong for yourself. That's all he said. He doesn't need all this other stuff to fool people into rebelling against God. But he uses it. He uses it because you know what? God created the mind. The mind is a powerful thing. You ever wonder why you're able to remember something from 30 years ago, if you're that old? Music, I mean, you know, the music I listened to as a teenager, if I even hear the tune in the grocery store, I know exactly what it is. I don't want to. It's because your mind, God created your mind to remember things and to be dominated by His Word, by the truth. Why do Christians make wrong decisions that they know are wrong? Because they get to the point where their minds are desensitized. They're numb to the truth. How can a Christian man who claims to be saved sit and watch 9 hours of pornography every day and say, it doesn't affect me? Well, when was the last time you heard God's voice speaking to you? When was the last time you felt God's presence? When was the last time you were drawn to read your Bible? I just use that as an example because there are things in our life that we think are okay, but listen, that's not how God wants us to be. God wants us to be 100% surrendered to Him, letting His Holy Spirit really have every area of our life. A lot of Christians struggle in different areas, and it's because we're not walking in the Spirit. We're not allowing Jesus to have full control of our life. We're living on both sides of the fence. We're not even trying to walk the fence. We're living on the world side. And then on Sunday, Wednesday, we live on the Lord's side, but every other day it's the world side. And again, I'm not saying, you know, specifically anybody in here, but evaluate your life. Are you as close to the Lord as God wants you to be? I've heard people say, are you as close to the Lord as you want to be? Everyone always, well, yep, I'm as close to the Lord as I want to be. No. Are we as close to the Lord as He wants us to be? Because He continues to say, follow me. That means we've got to keep moving closer to Him.